Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
Ciao.
Ciao. How do you say ciao in Chinese?
Ni hao.
Oh, ni hao.
Yeah.
Yes, I can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, before getting into serious things,
yes.
I have a question for you.
What?
Why you never get promoted on Voyager?
You're so funny. Oh. This is a very good question. Ensign is the most junior officer, so he's an officer, but by the end of Voyager, that's 7 years later, he should have been almost lieutenant commander by then, if you go according to these naval rankings. So I called up the writers and the producers' office, and I said, this is season four. After 4 years, I said, why has Harry Kim not been promoted from ensign to lieutenant? And the response was, well, somebody has to be the ensign. And that was it. That's all they said to me.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's horrible. It's bad.
Yes.
It's funny because the title ensign is not a very commonly known ranking. You know, it's more obscure. So There was a young lady who came to a convention. I was signing autographs, and she was probably in her 20s, and she said, oh, I've watched Voyager my whole life, you know, ever since I was 7 years old. I saw Voyager for the first time, and I watched all the episodes from 7 to I was 14 years old, and I'm very ashamed to tell you this, but the entire time I was watching Voyager, I did not realize you were Ensign Harry Kim, Ensign Kim. I thought your name was Handsome Kim. So then I thought, oh my goodness, this girl, when she was watching the show, every time Janeway came up to my station and said, status report, Ensign, this little girl heard, status report, Handsome. Handsome Kim.
Maybe she was hitting on Ensign Kim.
I don't think so. She really made that mistake, and I think it's very funny, Handsome Kim. Okay. So some of my games that I play, my video games, my screen name is Handsome Kim on there. So.
Okay. So can you tell us something about the podcast you're doing?
Oh yeah, yes. So in May of 2020, at the beginning. Actually, in March of 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, everything shut down, as all of you know. Italy, United States, everyone shut down. And, you know, my lady, Megan, she told me, you know, you've always wanted to do a podcast about Star Trek Voyager episodes. This is probably the best time to begin one, you know, when nobody is going anywhere. And she said, I think you need someone else to host, a co-host, to do this with you. And she said, you should call Robbie McNeil, Tom Paris. And I said, oh, he's so busy. he's directing. All he does is direct television shows. And she said, he's not busy now. I said, yes, you're right. He's not busy now. So I called him and I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, okay, all right. You think anyone would be interested in hearing this? And I said, have you been to a Star Trek convention? Are you crazy? Of course. And he said, okay, I'll try it. And it has been an amazing success. A lot of people have been listening to this. We have, at this point, we've been doing it for 2 years. I think we have almost 3 million downloads of our podcast. And we talk about every episode of Voyager, starting from season one, episode one, chronologically. We go in order, and we talk about what we remember, what happened when we were filming, and we have special guests. So we have a free version that you can find anywhere that you find podcasts, on iTunes or Spotify. But we also have an extended version, a more complete version, on Patreon, patreon.com, through like a subscription service. Like if you pay for Netflix per month, we also have a per monthly fee. But we've had a really, really fun time doing this podcast. We talk about a lot of funny things that happened. And, you know, a lot of people have been writing us emails telling us thank you so much to give us something to look forward to every week on Monday during this crazy COVID-19 coronavirus time. And, you know, without your podcast, we would be crazy at home, just going crazy, arguing with the familia the entire time, right? So there's a lot of positive stuff. And then every now and then we receive an email. We received one from a gentleman in South America. I think he was in Argentina. And he said that he caught COVID and he was sent to the hospital. He had a very bad case of COVID, but he was able to sneak in his mobile phone and one charger and one earbud. And because normally when you get admitted to the hospital, they take everything from you. So he kept it with him. And he said that he saw so many people that were fighting with the doctors and the nurses, because when they put this tube down your throat to help you breathe, a lot of people were fighting, pulling it out and everything. But because they were dealing with COVID, their strength is not good. So when they were fighting, they're fighting so hard that they were dying. And he said, the one thing that kept me calm the entire time so that I wasn't, you know, trying to fight the doctors and nurses was listening to your podcast. So he said, thank you so much. You have saved my life, you know.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So I read that. So I read this email, and I just immediately start crying, you know, because it's so emotional, and it's very long, because he goes into very precise detail about what happens in this COVID-19 ward that they don't, you know, the newspapers, the news media, the news stations. They don't cover this. They don't talk about all the people that are dying in the ward because they're fighting with the doctors and nurses. So he went into such detail.
They did in Italy.
As well, yeah? They show you everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when I read an email like this, then it makes me feel very, very happy that I've helped keep someone from dying, from staying, to help them stay alive. Yeah. Oh, and the name of the podcast is The Delta Flyers, like the name of the shuttle.
Yes.
That Tom Paris built, The Delta Flyers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Monday?
Do you think the Star Trek influenced society? And was Star Trek a revolution talking about culture or politics?
Yes, Star Trek from day one, when Gene Roddenberry began Star Trek, every single episode, it's the same. You see the starship, you see the captain, they're on the bridge, they go down to a planet, they meet some aliens, you know, this happens, that happens. But there's always a story underneath the story, a lesson to be learned, how to live life, to be a better a better human being, to live life better. And so I think, yes, there's always lessons in Star Trek, and that's why I think Star Trek is the most important television that anybody can watch, because it does teach you subconsciously, it does work on you to make you a better human being, a better person. Voyager specifically, I think, is so important for any young girl to watch. If you're, is it Filia is a daughter, right? How do you say it? Filia, yeah. So if any of you have filias that are 9, 10, 11, 12, this is the perfect age for them to watch. Because most television, most film, always has a male hero, you know. And when you have a female hero, a woman who is in charge of everyone else, this helps young girls understand that they can be anything. They can be the president of the country, you know, if they want to. And I think it's very important for young girls to have someone to look up to. And I think Janeway has always been that for a lot of young women. And there are a lot of women right now in their 20s and 30s. They're in jobs that are science jobs because of Janeway. I've had many young ladies come to me at conventions telling me, oh, the reason why I am doing my job now is because of Star Trek Voyager, because of Captain Janeway. So, yes, I think Star Trek is an excellent... May I help you? He's like, sorry. Just kidding. And, you know, Star Trek is such a great TV show to watch to help people have discussions about problems that society has to deal with, you know, gender issues, race issues, you name it. I was at a convention in New Zealand one year, and this gentleman walked up to my table. He said, can you please sign this autograph for my wife? I said, sure. Why is she not here? Oh, she's working right now. She cannot come. But I want to tell you about what my wife does. And I said, sure. What does she do for a living, for her work? He said, she is a criminal psychologist in the New Zealand Federal Penitentiary, so the jail system for New Zealand. And the wife was the psychologist there. And so she would meet with each new inmate, each new person that would be coming to the jail, and she would talk to them and find out, you know, what happened in their life that made them turn into crime, into a criminal. What are the things that were affecting them when they were growing up? And whatever the biggest problem of each criminal, she would find the corresponding Star Trek episode that dealt with that problem and made them watch that episode.
Wow, that's
as therapy. Crazy. It's amazing. It truly is amazing. Yeah, yeah. So, you guys all know Star Trek's the best. So that's why you're here. Yeah.
So, Garrett, let's go into very serious stuff.
Very.
What are you going to do?
Tomorrow. Okay, so I'm here until tomorrow morning. I will be leaving early because I have to fly from Roma to Paris and Paris to Bordeaux, France, because I'm joining the European Space Agency for a zero-gravity flight. So this plane will go up and down, up and down. And the Vomit Comet, exactly. Hopefully I will not vomit on the Vomit Comet, but yes, thank you. But I will bring my small action figure with me, Harry Kim, little small Henson Kim. So when I float in the air, I will float with little Harry Kim too at the same time. So this is, I'm doing this because this will be filmed for the documentary, for the Voyager documentary. Lolita just spoke to you about the documentary, and this is one of the things they've decided that they're going to do. This Voyager documentary, they made the decision that they were going to focus a lot on myself and Harry Kim. So these are one of the things that they will have in the documentary. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm very nervous. I don't want to vomit, so we'll see. They're supposed to give me some type of medicine, some shot that will help me. But we'll, yeah.
At least it was not after the heat pump.
Exactly. But then I thought, boy, this would be funny if I had pasta that was in the shape of a, like a comm badge, right? And I swallowed a lot of that, and I did not take the medicine, and I did vomit. I would vomit out comm badges. That's really gross, I know.
I bet every other Star Trek actor will be really envy that you're doing this.
You think so?
Oh.
Except for Shatner. Shatner already did his space thing, so. I think they'll be envious, but, you know, I just want to make sure everything goes well and they get some good footage and good, you know.
They will.
Yeah.
Very professional, so.
Mm-hmm.
Un'altra domanda?
Oh, they came. The ESA approached the documentary team. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the documentary team approaching the ESA. The European Space Agency heard about the Voyager documentary and said, "Hey, can we be part of this?" And that's why I'm doing. That's why I'm the guinea pig. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Will
right.
Samantha? Will you interview Samantha?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
I'm sure she will be in the documentary.
No, Samantha Cristoforetti, the Italian
astronaut. The Italian astronaut,
that was supposed to be the captain of the International Space Station, but
yes.
Now things changed a little bit, so she's not. She's going again. Or when? In one month? Yes, she's going on the International Space Station. And did you know that she's a huge Voyager fan?
Yes,
and
but...
And then she... did I tell you the
you
story?
You told me she's a huge Voyager fan.
Yes.
What's the story?
The story is that when... Well, okay, the story is that in Italy, unfortunately, science fiction is still perceived by the majority... As a
children's show.
Pointed ears,
yes.
And all this kind of
yes.
stuff, of course. So so while she was applying to go the first time on the International Space Station, I have a photo with me that I'll show you maybe when she was 18 and we were all in the uniform, you know, Star Trek uniform at the convention.
Yep.
And so basically she told us not to put those pictures on the internet because she feared that if this picture got out, she could have some problems, you know.
Oh.
But right after...
Okay.
Oh, she was also an air officer. Yes,
yeah.
Sure. Yes. So, yeah, and she was also the first one when she took the course in...
At the Academy,
yes.
Mm.
All male. Many males, but she was the first one.
Female fighter pilot?
She was the first one on the course. I mean,
oh,
as a result,
that's
she
nice.
Was the best one.
Yeah.
And this is what.
But it's sad that she has to keep it from the social media.
As soon as
she was accepted.
She was accepted, and you know, the internet was flooded.
Then it all came out.
Yeah.
Oh.
And when she went on the International Space Station, and there was. Lavazza, which is an Italian brand of coffee, very famous, and they sent a coffee machine on the International Space Station.
Okay.
So now there is an Italian coffee machine on the International Space Station.
That's funny.
And I think Samantha was in charge of recovering the coffee machine from space.
Oh, okay.
So she put, she dressed with the Voyager.
With a Voyager uniform?
I mean, it has not the logo or this kind of stuff because of Paramount, probably, but it was clearly a Voyager uniform.
I love
and
it.
And she put a photo on the internet with her like dress, with the uniform, and saying, there must be coffee in that nebula.
Nebula. Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, no, I follow her on Twitter, but she does not follow me, unfortunately. Yeah. And there is, in the list of people she follows, there's actually a NASA astronaut with the last name Kim that she follows. So I want to make a tweet. So you follow this Kim, but not Harry Kim. Why? Let's see what she says.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're excited about
I am.
This.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good.
Domande?
Sorry, I just arrived. Maybe you already answered that, but are you going to be Picard, the new series?
Thank you. When she said, "Hello, I just arrived. Can you repeat everything that I missed right now?" Unfortunately, no. Everyone asked me, "Are you going to be on Picard? Are you going to be on Picard?" Well, they finished filming everything. So season 3 is over, unfortunately. Yes. So there will not be any more new Picard episodes, unfortunately. They had a problem with two times. The first time, 53 people, cast and crew, caught COVID-19, so they had to shut down production, and that happened again. So whenever these two breaks happened, it changed a lot of their shooting schedule of what they were going to do. And I will tell you that I was supposed to be doing something, but it got changed. So it's not gonna, it's not gonna happen now. Yeah, I'm very upset about that personally. But there is a talk of a spin-off show from Picard, so maybe with Jerry Ryan. And if this is the case, I really hope that Harry Kim, we can see him as least a captain, not an ensign, you know, not. Not the oldest ensign in Starfleet history. We don't want this. So, yeah. We'll see. Thank you for asking.
Chi aveva una domanda?
Did you meet the then Prince Abdullah, now the King of Jordan, while working on Voyager?
Yes.
How was he?
He was amazing. His English is perfect. He went to school and university in America. And when he was, we received a memo from the office, the front office, and they said, Voyager actors, next week, in the next week's episode, we have a special guest who will be here to play a background character, a Starfleet character. It is the Prince of Jordan, the Crown Prince of Jordan, Prince Abdullah. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Prince Abdullah is a big fan of Hollywood and science fiction, and specifically Star Trek. He loves everything Star Trek. So when he came onto the set, it was a scene with Neelix, myself, the prince, and I think one other person. But the prince and I are in the background. We're pretending to have a conversation. And I remember I said, "How do you feel, today?" And he's wearing his Starfleet uniform. And he said, "Oh, I'm so nervous right now." I go, "You're the prince. You're the crown prince of a country. And you're nervous about one little tiny scene in Star Trek?" He goes, "Yeah, but I love it so much. I love Star Trek, and I don't want to do anything wrong. I want things to look good." And so I kind of taught the prince what he should do. I said, "You're lucky. We don't have any lines. We don't have dialogue. We're in the background. So I'm going to talk to you. Well, I will move my lips like I'm telling you something. Now, when the camera is past me, and it gets onto your face, I'm going to stop moving my mouth. And I want you to think about something that someone has told you in the last few months, a story, a joke, something that was funny. Can you think of a funny story or a funny joke that someone told you recently?" Because I was trying to help him with his acting, And he said, yes, I do have something. I said, "Okay, cool." So the minute I stop talking with my mouth, you will then think about the story or the joke, and I want you to react naturally to this joke like you heard it for the first time. So when you see the prince on the episode, I'm talking to him, bop, 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 and then the camera comes over, and I stop, and he's like, he does this little laugh, and that's the prince's screen time, his quick 10 seconds, 5 seconds in a Star Trek Voyager episode. So then after this was over, the prince invited all the Voyager actors to a restaurant, which is no longer in Los Angeles anymore. It was a chain of restaurants called Planet Hollywood. So, yes. So Planet Hollywood was, the prince rented out the entire restaurant. So they closed the whole restaurant down for a dinner party and dancing with all the Voyager actors. And I remember I was so comfortable with the prince that I forgot to call him by his proper name. And so I was just standing next to him and I was like, you know, Abdullah, I just said his first name. And immediately, so he's, Flora, if Flora is Abdullah, I go, you know, Abdullah. And then he gets very quiet. And all of a sudden, on my left side, I feel someone grab my arm in a pressure point. Yeah. So he grabs my arm. And now my arm feels very numb, like I can't move it. And someone pulls me towards them. And I look over. It's the general, the chief of his security forces. And he comes up very close to me and he whispers to me, he goes, "You shall never refer to His Royal Highness as only Abdullah. You must say His Royal Highness or Prince Abdullah or else." I'm like, "Ugh, or else what? You're going to kill me?" Today, actor Garrett Wong died when he called the Prince of Jordan just Abdullah. The general and chief of security forces killed him at Planet Hollywood. So this is what I thought was going to, yeah. So I learned you cannot call royalty by, you know, just their first name. You just can't do that. But yeah, but that was really fun to have someone like him on the set. It was amazing. It was amazing.
And did you have other famous people on the set as a guest that you remember for a cameo or something?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of people.
I know. One that you particularly loved, you know, being around or something?
I think, I don't know about one I particularly loved to be around, but I liked when Andy Dick came on as the other doctor, the other EMH. So you have one holographic doctor and a new holographic doctor. I thought he did a good job. Also, we had, I wasn't around for this, but the Voyager actors were outside of a soundstage, and they were playing like a game of baseball, you know, just to have fun. And Robin Williams walked up, and he was like, "Hey!" And Neelix was out there. He was like, "Neelix!" And like, he knew everything. Like, he knew every single fact about Voyager. He's a big, big Star Trek fan. And he asked if he could come onto the soundstage, and they said, "Yeah, of course." And he walked up to Seven of Nine's Borg regeneration alcove, and he stood in there and took a picture. I mean, he was like a huge fan. It was crazy. And evidently, he came back 5 more times because he was filming a film on Paramount Studios lot. But throughout the day, every time he had a break, he ran back to the Voyager set. And that was the one day I was not there. I'm like, "What? You guys get to meet Robin Williams and not me?" Oh, well.
Well, you were only an ensign.
Yeah, I was only an ensign. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to. It's so funny.
Gino? C'è una domanda.
But will you be maybe in Lower Decks? I mean, it would be very good to have a handsome Captain Kim in Lower Decks. And it would be very much in keeping with the spirit of Lower Decks.
Yes, I agree. I love Lower Decks. Lower Decks makes me laugh a lot. And Star Trek Day is September, beginning of September. And I was there for the Star Trek Day celebration. And where they sat me is they sat me right next to Mike McMahon, who is the creative producer, the showrunner for Lower Decks. So I did have a conversation with him, and I said, "So when are we've already seen Tom Paris on Lower Decks. What about Harry Kim?" And he says, "Yeah, we want to have you." And I said, "You can have Harry Kim as Ensign Kim. He's the oldest ensign in Starfleet history, you know." And everyone on Lower Decks is like, you're the original ensign. And so, and he said, "Yeah, that's too dead on. I want to find something, another more creative way to introduce your character." So he's very aware of the fact that I would love to be on Lower Decks, and he wants to make this happen as well. But he says that he has to be careful because They always have conversations with the producers of Prodigy, the other animated series with Janeway in it, because they want to make sure that they can use, you know, so if Prodigy says, I want to use Harry Kim, then they will talk to Lower Decks and say, we're going to use Harry this season. Can you guys use him another season, you know, maybe later? So there's a lot of conversation going back and forth between those producers of Lower Decks and Prodigy. But to be perfectly honest with you, I loved Lower Decks so much. I do want to, when I get home, I'm going to contact Mike McMahon and I'm going to say, is there any possibility that I can join, I can just come and be an intern, you know, in the writer's room and just let me sit here and let me see if I can contribute and be part of, you know, what I think is an amazingly funny show. So hopefully this will happen sooner than later. We'll see. Yeah. Thank you, though.
And have you watched Discovery?
Yeah, I've seen Discovery, yeah.
Did you like it?
You know, it's not what people that love TNG and Voyager and DS9 are used to. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing at all. But I do think a lot of the younger generation, you know, people that are under 18 years old, probably like Discovery a lot, you know. It's not what I'm used to in terms of when I watch Star Trek, so it's not my favorite Star Trek, but I will watch it just because I watch everything science fiction. Yes.
Very diplomatic.
Yeah, there's some people here that probably are like, ugh.
Domande? Marco.
Star Trek aside, is there any science fiction show in the recent times that you particularly liked or disliked, and why?
Yes. I talked about yesterday, I love Farscape. I think Farscape was a fantastic show.
Yes.
Very interesting, different from other science fiction shows, different elements. So Farscape is one show that I like. I do like the original Battlestar Galactica. I was a young boy when that came on television, so that was fun to watch that. And the new Battlestar Galactica with Ron Moore, I also like. I like the earlier seasons of The Expanse. Do you see that in Italy as well?
Oh,
you brought you did the you did
the first three seasons. Okay. There are no errors in.
There are no errors. So you did season one, two, three. But from third on, it went down the crapper. Okay.
Well, let's just say that they were talking about silicon.
Yeah.
And they translate in silicon as silicone, come si dice. Silica.
Silica and silicon are definitely different. So
yes,
they
were talking about, you know, the main elements of Earth.
Yeah.
And it was a scientist talking.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's not good.
I was also supervising the, you know, the tackle bubble of the first three seasons. So funnily enough, I got a text message from Marco, and, you know, very diplomatically, he said, Flora, are you still working on The Expanse? And I said, no, they stole it from us. Why? Oh, because they...
then it all came out. Silica! Okay.
Which is, you know, the first probably an mistake that you make in English, in translating into Italian. Mm. Silicon is very near to silicone. Mm. Which is silica.
Yeah.
It's like carbon. It's not carbone.
Right.
So false friends, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it was so funny because who cares? I'm going to say it. Because even if it's recorded, because they all used the wrong basic science fiction language.
Mm.
Like, you know, power the engines. They did something like, okay, now I'm going to park my car.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like that. So
that's not good.
No.
Yeah.
But that's our problem.
Yeah. There's very few science fiction shows that I don't watch. I watch everything that comes out pretty much. That's because I've always loved sci-fi since early in my life. So I like it all.
Novels or all?
I'm talking about just film and TV at this point. Novels, I haven't honestly had as much time to get into.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I haven't.
Chi aveva una domanda?
I have a question regarding your character in Voyager. Sorry. I have a question regarding your character in Voyager, Kim the Handsome. And which, for your character, the best episode for you?
The best episode for Harry Kim.
Is which?
Which? Yeah, which?
From near Bologna, so.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, the best episode for Harry Kim is the 100th episode of Voyager. It was called Timeless, and this is the episode where Voyager crashes into the ice planet, and Harry Kim of the future, 15 years older Harry Kim, must come and save the day with Chakotay's help. So this, I think, is the best, by far, of all the Harry Kim episodes. And that episode was funny because in the big scene where Harry, it's the very end of the episode, and he's trying to figure out the right calculations, and he's furiously pushing these buttons, and he's like, oh, then he figures it out. He's like, yes, and he's, but that whole scene is with the doctor. Robert Picardo is there watching Harry the whole time. And so after we filmed that first take, and the director says, cut, Robert Picardo walked over to me, and he said, Garrett, you can act. Leave it to Bob Picardo to tell me to my face after 5 years, hey, you can act. I go, where have you been the first 5 years, you know? So it's
Garrett, in medieval Italian.
Huh? In medieval Italian, yeah, he would tell me this. Oh, my God.
Okay, we have seven minutes.
And for you, the best episode is the same like an actor.
Oh, okay. For so for me, I think as an actor, my favorite episode is going to be Caretaker, the first episode, because we spent 31 days filming this pilot episode. The pilot episode was basically a two-parter.
Yes, sure.
So when we film one episode of Voyager, it takes 7 days. So two episodes should take 14 days, but because it was the first one ever, and we went on location to many different places, they gave it 31 days. Harry Kim and Tom Paris worked 30 of the 31 days. So we worked the most. Janeway worked only 16 days of the 31 days. Bob Picardo worked 1 day of the 30. But yet Bob Picardo got paid more than I did in the 1 day and then my 30 days. So there you go. That's life for you. when your resume is non-existent and you're a new actor, they can give you less money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But at least you landed the job for 7 years.
Yeah, that's a great job. I mean, very few jobs in Hollywood last for 7 years, or even more than 1 year. Yes.
What can we expect from you from the future, from your career?
I'm going to go straight into porno. Just kidding. Handsome Kim must be in porn, of course. Have you met Handsome Kim? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just trying to be funny.
Here in Italy. No problem.
It's okay in Italy to talk like this? Okay, all right.
That's what
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Ma chi è questo? Ah, ok.
Oh, she has the red hair. Yes, 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 yes. So I will be the second person to move from one to into porno. I'm kidding. No, that's right. That's right. I would love to, like I said, I would love to work on Lower Decks. I would like to do something else in Star Trek. If there is a spin-off show from Picard, I would love to be able to do that. Because I do think Harry Kim deserves a promotion, damn it. You know, come on. I mean, this is crazy. This long. It's too long now.
Do you know that the term ensign comes from the fact that he was the one holding...
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Oh. And they get shot too. Oh, okay. Good to know.
How do you feel? I'm pretty sure, as you know, George Takei was an inspiration for Asian, young Asian at
yes.
his time. You
yeah.
probably have been an inspiration for a young Asian when you shot.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's crazy. Like, if you look at Discovery, there's a Asian young man working on Discovery, Patrick. And I met him in Las Vegas at the big Star Trek convention, and he was like, "Oh, I used to watch you when I was a kid." You know, I'm like, "Oh, thank you." You know, great. So yeah, it's kind of cool to be an inspiration to not only Asian Americans but also he's Canadian American actors, Canadian Chinese American actor. What am I saying? Chinese Canadian actors, yes, like Patrick.
Do you think has anything changed in Hollywood regarding, you know, Asian actors having more, or even Asian, you know,
yes.
in the scenes?
Yes, it has changed. I would say Crazy Rich Asians, this feature film, this movie came out, and then this was huge. This was a big deal. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's now going to be so many new projects for Asians. And then COVID-19 comes out of China. It's like, what the hell? You know, like every time there seems to be a push towards more progress and more success for Asian faces in Hollywood, something happens to pull it back a little bit, you know?
I'm curious about this, about COVID, you know, coming from China.
Yeah.
In the United States, was there any problem for, you know, Chinese people?
There are, yes. There's still violence to this day in a lot of different cities where people will walk up and see an old Asian couple walking down the sidewalk, and they will rush up and start hitting them, and some of them have died because of this. And this makes me very angry because... Yes, Trump. See, that also does not help. When your president says Chinese virus, it's like, you know what? It's making a lot of people, it gives them the permission to go out there and hurt people and possibly kill people. And I've seen a lot of video footage of security cameras that show the violence towards Asians in America. And a lot of it is towards old people, like your grandfather, your grandma, or my parents' age. And I think about that, and it makes me so angry to think that someone could possibly come up and hit my mom or my father. You know, it's
well
just
because
like,
they are cowards and they go for
yes. So you go for the easy target, right? Are you going to fight Bruce Lee? Probably not, but you know, but you're going to fight someone who can barely walk, right? So it's very, very sad right now. So yeah.
Well, we did not have that in Italy.
No, that's good. I'm glad. Well, actually, there's oh my gosh, there's a video. It's a viral video. He's an Italian American, and he was saying these horrible things. He was like, "Yeah, with your kung fu virus, your Chinese virus, you know, go back to your own country and all this stuff." And this man does business with Italy. He has a company that he's in Italy all the time. And I found his company and his webs, and I entered a whole. I wrote a whole email, not as myself, of course. A whole message to him, telling him how upset I was with what he said, which was just horrible, horrible. But it's there, and it's all because you have one person, Trump, you know, telling everyone that this is what you should call it. This is the Chinese virus, and I'm very excited to hear that there isn't this type of violence towards Asians in Italy afterwards.
I think they are.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you have to have some common sense here. You can't you can't blame it on anybody. Sure. Right. Yeah. The prejudices are there, definitely. And really, for me, I've always been someone who, when I got on Star Trek Voyager, I told the producers, I want this character to be Starfleet first, Asian second. So I want him to be Starfleet. So I don't want him to have an accent, to speak with a Chinese accent. And I really want you to... you know, pay attention to this. And Harry really is a very non-stereotypical character.
Yes, as he should be.
As he should be, yes. And I think that because of my character, there are less people that have racism in America towards Asians because they see my character on TV.
Sure.
And I told them when I booked the role of Star Trek, I said, listen, If there's anything that comes up that could possibly be offensive, please tell me. In season one, we were filming the episode Prime Factors, which Eric Stilwell wrote, one of the other guests here. And in the episode, Harry Kim must wear some clothing that's not a Starfleet uniform. And they told me that this piece of clothing, this shirt, may look a little Asian, a little Oriental. So I went down to the wardrobe department. And yeah, it folded over, but there's so much pattern and design on there. It really didn't look Asian. And so they said, what do you think? And I said, yeah, that's fine. It's not offensive. They said, oh, this is actually a piece of clothing we have used in the past with another Star Trek actor. I said, oh, someone else wore this? Like, yeah, this was worn on Next Generation. I said, oh, who wore that? Patrick Stewart. I go, oh, what? Patrick wore this? Yes. Oh, I can wear this as a hat. I can wear it as a. I wear any way you want me to wear it. I was so excited to know that I was wearing Patrick Stewart's clothing. So.
Okay, so last question. What did you steal from the set?
What did I steal from the set? If you watch any Voyager episode, Harry Kim's station is, if you're watching the screen, is back right side. If you see behind Harry, you see the operations and communications readout, like a whole panel display. So I took the whole display. So the whole display is at my house. I have that. My first goal was to take my entire operations console. But then when I measured it and then I tried to move it, this thing was so heavy and it was so big that there would be no place in my house that I could put this. Plus, I would have to have a helicopter come get it or something. It's ridiculous. I don't have enough friends. Yeah, I should have called Flora. Flora would have said, yes, of course. We have a friend that has a helicopter. He'll... Yes. Yeah. So, yes, I have my big console. Most of the other stuff was stolen by Robert Picardo because we were filming... Well, here's the thing. We were filming on the bridge on the final day of Voyager. So while we were filming on the bridge, Robert Picardo was in engineering. He had a little... He was unscrewing everything. Like he took, I think Bob Picardo has the warp core. He took the entire engineering. Like all of it is in his house. So this was so funny. And I was so angry because I was like, I'm busy. I'm filming. You're finished with work and you're taking everything. And he's like, oh, well. So funny.
Okay. Thank you very much, Garrett. I will tell about the autograph that you will come later.
Is there any way that I can do autogram outside right now in the front area? No?
Well, if you want, yes. You prefer that?
Just to get it done, if they want to do it. Yeah.
No, we cannot do it.
No, okay. No. All right.
Allora, volevo dirvi. Okay. Allora, volevo dirvi che siccome appunto Garrett is leaving, sì, vabbè, se ne va domani mattina, allora stasera c'è la sessione autografi tutti insieme in cui lui verrà un po' in ritardo perché starà facendo il podcast. Quindi chiunque resta fino a lunedì li farà... No, che, de che? Tutti stasera qui, un pochino più tardi, quindi compresi noi dello staff, ce lo dobbiamo ricordare. Ok, don't worry, you do your podcast and you come later.
After dinner here, yes?
No, before dinner.
Oh, before dinner?
Yeah, you told me you could come around 8:15, something like that. Yeah. If you cannot, we'll do it after dinner. Yeah, it's not a problem.
10 p.m.
Yeah, is that okay? Is everyone going to be here then, though? Is anyone leaving early?
Qualcuno se ne va? No, non credo. Qualcuno se ne va prima delle 10. Who's going to leave?
Who's going to leave early? Come on. Okay,
no problem.
This is Italy.
Oh, sorry, Paul. Yes, Garrett is going to go and do his podcast.
Yeah.
So he won't.
I'm in my room. I'm recording for the podcast. So
He won't be here for the autograph. Gian Pedruzzi, silenzio. Ecco, te lo spiega lei. Guarda, she's gonna explain.
Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you very much, Garrett.
10 o'clock. Yeah.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast. podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia. Da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafini, con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof. Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.com, sul profilo Instagram Fantascientificast, sul canale Telegram Fantascientificast e sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.com. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito e su tutti i principali servizi di streaming on demand. Se volete sostenere il nostro progetto offrendoci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, troverete tutte le informazioni e modalità nell'apposita sezione del nostro sito. Il podcast ha carattere esclusivamente ricreativo e divulgativo. Non ha alcun scopo di lucro e viene diffuso gratuitamente. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Val 9000 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento al prossimo episodio lungo la rotta di Kessel. E ricordate, la fantascienza finge di guardare dentro il futuro, ma in realtà guarda il riflesso della verità che è davanti a noi. Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.